1290. Stay tuned.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel, and Diane Duva and I are your hosts every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 11 and Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara. And Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
Hi, Neil. How are you doing today?
I'm really excited. I'm so excited about the finals tonight.
I know it is. It's bocce ball finals, right. 6 p.m.
And isn't it true that if you come to Arnaldi's to watch the finals and they root for your team, dinner's free? Is that true?
Sure. We'll see how many people that gets out. You know, I just want to know. I'm looking at you right now, and Neil's wife is out of town, and he's looking a little wrinkled. You're not usually crisp self.
Because I get ironed in the morning.
Well, we have in studio with us today Joe Parker, who is a partner and co-founder of the Santa Barbara Group at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. Welcome, Joe.
Hello. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
And we will learn more about Joe after the articles.
So the first article is entitled Fighting 401k Inertia Automatically. And the article, which is interesting, begins with a quote from Richard Thaler, who is an economist at the University of Chicago, who won the Nobel Peace Prize in economics last week. So I guess the writer in the Wall Street Journal was thinking about Richard Thaler.
And interestingly enough, we at Arlington own two of Dr. Thaler's funds, and we are thrilled that he won the Nobel Prize in economics.
You own it, meaning that you recommend it to your clients.
Correct.
Another reason that Arlington Financial is a place to go.
Exactly.
So the theory that Dr. Thaler put forth was that inertia is a very powerful characteristic of humans. And so in places where you need to overtly register to be an organ donor, 15% of people will donate their organs. In places where on your auto license you can opt out of being an organ donor, 90% are organ donors. They do not opt out. So people tend to, the way Thaler termed it, is they default into whatever is given to them. And the same is true with 401k. Enrollment. Now, 401k, as we talked about, is probably the most effective way to save, because to the extent that a company is willing to give you tax-free an additional investment opportunity.
Well, I think a good way to think about it is it's the easiest way. It's the opt-in is you write down a number and it never hits your checking account. So I often say to people, so it's never in your checking account, therefore you're not going to go spend it on shoes or golf or whatever your self-splurge is.
Right, but the other advantage is that to the extent that a company matches, that's free money.
And if you don't opt in, you're basically leaving free money on the table.
So in this study, they found that when a company makes you opt out rather than opt in, 90% agree to participate. Whereas when companies have you opt in or out at your choice, only 40% of new workers will opt in. So what the conclusion here is that to the extent that we as a country are under-saving, particularly for retirement, it would be based on human behavior, much better for society if everyone were forced to opt out rather than to opt in. But what was interesting about the article, it took a look at the other side of the equation. And what they found is that when people are opting in because that's the default choice, they tend to take less investment from the 401k as opposed to people that select to opt in, meaning that they save they take a contribution of 3% versus those that overtly opt in of 6%.
Well, you want to know what I think that that's a matter of is that's what the opt-in rate is. So when the company says you're automatically defaulted into the 401k plan at 3%, few people, because they're the inertia people, go in and make it a higher percentage. Whereas if you're actively saying, I need to save for retirement, you're much more likely to run the scenarios of how much excess money do I actually have? Sure, no one has quote-unquote excess money, but what can I afford to pay myself first with? And that's why they choose a higher percentage number. I think the article said 6% if they're actually opting in versus the default of 3%.
You must have read this article because what the end of it says, just what you were saying, they said that what we should have to improve overall savings is the opt-in rate that's automatic should be 6%, not 3%. And in those few instances where that's the case, they found no real diminution in the percentage of people that would accept it. So companies could do a favor to their employees by, based on this theory, by raising the default contribution rate,
and making it 6%. And what I thought that study was interesting is that very few people opted out because of the higher percentage opt-in of 6% versus the 3%.
And you know, it's funny, we all know about inertia. There's a great commercial on now for AT&T, not AT&T, somebody's
phone?
TV, non-cable TV, where the guy's, you know, hitting their head against the wall or, you know, getting an operation without a seizure. It says you want to keep doing the same stupid thing over and over again, and people tend to do the same stupid thing over and over again. So I understand inertia. The next article is called The False Profit of Long-Term Investing. And you know, the article begins by saying if you would invested
in... I think it's important to point out that it's profit, not P-R-O-F-I-T, but rather profit as in somebody telling the future.
Are you making fun of my accent?
No, I'm just saying, just so everyone's clear out there.
But it's pronounced the same way.
It is pronounced. That's why I was not making fun of your pronunciation for once.
Because I'm very sensitive about that. And, okay, good. Well, it's profit. So the false profit is that long-term investing works. If you have invested right before the crash and held on for the last 10 years, you would have done just fine. The problem, the article points out, in long-term investing is that the companies themselves are really focused on short-term performance and are making decisions how they run their company based upon quarterly earnings. And what's exacerbated this trend is the fact that companies now give what's called guidance to analysts. They project what they believe will be their quarterly earnings, and then if they miss those quarterly earnings estimates, the stocks get hammered. So one of the things that the article talks about is the paradox where if companies continually are focusing on the short term, where investors are focusing on the long term, there is a mismatch here where companies may be making decisions that aren't in the best interest of the long term growth of the company just because they don't want to disappoint Wall Street. And this has been an issue for years. And one of the things that has made, I think, more people focus on it is that when companies that seem to have no real change in their fundamentals have, quote-unquote, a bad quarter as defined as they miss their target, the stock goes down 25%. And that kind of volatility creates havoc in the stock market. So what the article is basically saying, and there are economists that many economists that agree that it would be better for companies to try to take a long-term view that would be then consistent with what their investors want.
Absolutely, because that short-term profit-driven company tends to not always be a long-term a long-term hold for many of its investors because they're eking out the profit that they can each and every quarter, which really what you want is a company that has long-term vision and is willing to maybe take it on a chin a few quarters to get a better long-term end result.
The next article is entitled Tax Cuts May Be Stimulus for Inequality. And I don't want to get too political again, but Thomas Piketty, who wrote a French economist that wrote a very, very controversial book a year and a half ago that basically looked at the industrialized world from the 1970s and concluded that there is no correlation between cutting top tax rates and economic growth. And that is really today in the news because of the proposed tax cuts that the administration has put forth. And this study, which we're not going to relitigate here, you know, argues that there's no empirical evidence to prove that this works. But what was interesting is a little sidebar, what the article points out, that in the book he says, look, if you have a inequality in the population, then what happens is there are certain groups that are disadvantaged, and they are disadvantaged in ways that if they weren't, you could improve productivity by having better education, by better healthcare, by better internet. And so the irony of it is, if you do have rising inequality, and under Piketty's view, it's because of the tax system we have, you're actually hurting economic growth because to the extent that you have a better prepared population, it also means greater economic activity. And you're staring at me like, what did I just say? But I didn't win the Nobel Prize. Piketty did. So it can't be all
right. It can't be all you, right?
Yeah. I think it's time for a break. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
Supervisor Steve Lavanino talks about the Santa Barbara County Veteran Stand Down coming up Saturday, October 21st. The Santa Barbara County Veteran Stand Down at the Santa Maria Fair Park, Saturday, October 21st.
Stand down means it's time for a little rest and relaxation. Basically, what it is you're trying to provide services, a safe place for veterans to come and congregate together and provide them a one-stop shop where they can come and get all their basic needs met. This is geared towards homeless veterans and veterans that are in need, but it's open to all veterans. And we're trying to let folks know it doesn't matter if you were honorably discharged or dishonorably discharged, or you were in combat or you weren't in combat. If you took that oath of office and you served and put on a uniform, defended this country, we're here to try to take care of you. As far as any funding goes, it's all privately funded. And if anybody wants to learn more about it, it's sbcountystanddown.com. Call 550-2260. sbcountystanddown.com. 550-2260.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending. Since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner. And we can be reached at 564-1290.
And you can also email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. So, Neil, what I want to know is, are you going to come to Arnaldi's tonight and watch us roll?
I will go any place for a free dinner.
You're very fixated on this free dinner.
Can I play if I come?
Maybe.
If anyone doesn't show?
Of course. If we need you, And yeah. No, someone should.
But I'll get into the team picture, though.
If we win.
Okay.
if we win and you're rolling, you're in the picture. That's how it works. So anyways, we have in studio with us Joe Parker, who's the co-founder and partner of the Santa Barbara Group at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. And he has been in business since 2001 and is in the top 1% of national production at Berkshire Hathaway. Thanks for being here, Joe.
Thanks, Diane. Nice to be here.
So tell us, how did you find your way into the real estate business?
Well, I went to UCSB. I was born and raised here in Santa Barbara.
The lucky few.
Yeah, Santa Barbara Don. Went to Santa Barbara City College and ended up at UCSB. And after graduation, a few different sales jobs landed me in an inside sales job that ultimately produced an ultimatum of going to Pittsburgh or getting
a new job.
Yeah, a new job. And the new job became real estate. So I actually bit the bullet. Through college, I was waiting tables, bartending, went back, did a little bit of restaurant work while I got my business off the ground. After about 4 months in the business in 2001, got my first sale. Finally said goodbye to the restaurants once again, and I've been selling houses ever since.
And you picked a great time to get into the real estate business in 2001, right before the stock market crashed.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a crazy ride to get into the market. I mean, I had several years there up until, you know, I started noticing something was happening around 2005. But in between then and the beginning in 2005, it was like being in a rocket market. You know, just anything you put on the market was just, it's like meat in a piranha tank.
Well, with interest rates so low, I remember during that time, me and one of my business partners having this whole conversation about interest rates and how they possibly can't stay this low. And then they'd keep going lower and lower and lower. And so how did you build your business? What was, I guess the question is for those people listening that are looking to get into the real estate business, what kind of made that first click to get that first listing, or were you representing the buyer or the seller, and how did it work out? If you can remember that far back.
No, yeah, absolutely. I totally remember it. My first deal actually came from a referral from a friend. It was a buyer. And at around the exact same time, I had been holding a lot of open houses. So that was a great way for me to grow my business, meet people that were looking to purchase, and maybe even meet sellers. And I did meet a seller at one of those open houses. And so that led to my first listing. Right around the same time, I had connected this one buyer with a house she wanted to buy. And then from there, just continuing to do different prospecting things that are available for realtors, like you know, sending out mailers, talking with their spheres, going out to lunches with people, and just, you know, like any sales jobs, it's a numbers game. Having lots of contacts, lots of interactions with people, trying to set goals for how many conversations you're going to have per day, and keep hitting it.
And you really have gotten into a different type of marketing as well. You're now doing YouTube videos and really utilizing social media. How do you think that that's helped your business?
Well, it's huge in the sense that I'm able to reach so many more people in an efficient way compared to the way that I was focused on doing it, which was one-on-one contact. Either over the phone, maybe they get a card in the mail for me, we sit down and have lunch together. And now I'm able to produce these videos, put them out there, and engage so many more people. They might not comment, we might not have direct engagement, but I could tell that they've watched it, I've had some kind of impact with them. And then the ones that do comment, I'm able to interact with them online and then take that interaction offline and then hopefully face-to-face and then a deal. So it's just an efficient way of really sticking to that number one rule of sales, the contact support, the, you know, lots of interactions. It's made it really easy to have those interactions.
Well, I think we have a caller, so I have a few more questions on the marketing, but let's get to our caller.
Josh.
Hi, Josh. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me.
Do you have a question?
I do. I was curious as to Mr. Parker's feelings on buying a new house over remodeling. We've been in our house for about a decade, and as my family's needs have changed, we've started thinking, is it time to sell and buy something new or remodel what we have? And I'm curious as to his thoughts.
Great.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a tough decision to make. A lot of it comes down to everyone's individual personal circumstances. What's going on? Are you able to live through a remodel? How big of a remodel is it going to be? Can you be in part of the house while it's going on, or do you have to move out and rent something? And does that make financial sense to be renting while you're remodeling your place that potentially I would think you're paying a mortgage on? So there's a lot of factors to weigh there. Also, have you spoke to a mortgage broker about getting pre-approved for something that you would like that maybe is already done right now that you could sell your place and move into? So it's there's not a cut and dry answer to the question. It's very specific to each person's circumstance.
And it sounds like a good fair amount of research needs to be put into before you can really help them to make a decision on that.
Absolutely.
Well, perfect. Thanks so much, Josh, for your question and your call in today. Anything else?
No, I'm all good. Thanks. I appreciate your time.
Great. Thanks, Josh.
You know, I have a similar question, and that has to do with you look at the market in certain places, and particularly at the high end, and you see prices coming down, lack of sales on the really high end, and then you see building go on at the high end. And it would seem to me that with opportunities to buy at a discount old houses, there are still people that are interested in spending more money per foot to build a new house.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of inexplicable, you know.
Yeah, I think it just satisfies a long-time dream for a lot of these people to build something custom, to have it their own, to put their own individual personality to whatever it is that they want to build, something they've been thinking about for many, many years, and finally able to accomplish that and creating their own something is a really, it's a big accomplishment that a lot of people are striving for.
Do you think it's also because there are so few new construction homes in this area of Santa Barbara that there's that cachet that goes along with it?
Yeah, absolutely. And also some of the new constructions, or maybe it's, a type of flip, a property that's been put on the market. I think some buyers could be a little bit hesitant about getting into something like that, not knowing everything that's gone on, behind the scenes and what's behind the walls. Whereas if they do it themselves, they're totally in control every step of the way.
Neil looks like he's going to say something.
Well, it's funny. I was going to say something about, being in control every step of the way. I don't know if you ever dealt with a contractor before.
As soon as that came out of my mouth, I was thinking maybe not every step of the way.
Everything.
But,
yeah.
Some level of control compared to just buying something that was already done by somebody who was, doing it as a business model.
Now, when you look at the numbers on building from scratch and buying something that's already done, or better yet, what we see more of in Santa Barbara is buying a home that needs some updating or some fixing at least, mm-hmm. Versus buying done. Where do you see the financial, the smartest financial move? Is it better to buy a completed project, or is it better to put your own finishing touches on it?
Again, it's pretty much subjective to each person's desires and tastes and what's going on in their life. What I am finding trending right now are the turnkey properties that are the most popular. It's really becoming more difficult to sell something that's a fixer, because it seems like with the prices where they've gone, most buyers, once they've closed escrow, don't have a lot of funds left over to remodel it, and they just want to move in and be done with the whole process and start living. So it is something that the turnkey, nice properties that are redone are the most popular thing on the market right now, especially if it's in a nice area. That's the segment of the market that's still really bullish and moving upwards, and you could kind of command a price that might be higher than the last comp that sold next to it.
You're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
Everybody buckle up, buckle up, buckle up, buckle up.
Everybody
buckle up, buckle up,
Buckle up. Everybody, buckle up.
Let's go.
Buckle up.
Can we go to the store,
Mom? Can we get some ice cream?
Buckle up. Everybody, everybody, buckle up.
Everybody, buckle up.
A lot goes on in the car, but remember, you're in control. Stand firm. Only move when you hear the click that says they're buckled in. Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
So, Joe, going back to where we left off before the break about the remodel versus building new, you know, let's say you have a client who's thinking about selling their home, yet they have a dated bathroom. Where do the economics work out where it's better for them to renovate their bathroom, or should they try to sell the property where it is, you know, how it is currently? What do you see at the varying price points? So I'm assuming if you're at a million or under, it really doesn't matter. Your house is going to sell. But if you're above in the higher echelon, does it make sense to spend the $50,000 that it's going to cost to renovate your bathroom?
You know, these are great questions, and unfortunately, I'm not trying to be dodgy, but none of them have a cut and dry answer. There's so many variables that go into it. You know, their wherewithal to have the money up front to do the remodel, their ability to live through a remodel. Bathrooms are one of the top things that you could do to add value to your home, with kitchens and curb appeal being up there with it. So if they have the ability to do it, I think that, and they do it well, they do it tastefully, they do it for the masses, it's not owner-specific kind of style, then I think it is a great idea to do it, because right now trending is turnkey stuff. Buyers don't want to do a lot of work after they've moved into a property. So I think they would see a benefit. At the very least, they're going to get their money back, but I think they would see a little bit of improvement on cash on return.
So you talk about curb appeal. You know, that's kind of interesting now that we're, you know, Santa Barbara's gold.
Yeah.
Gold is the new green. Isn't
is
that the slogan? How do you see homeowners? Are they laying down the sod like they were 10 years ago, or are they trying to do a drought resistant, you know, landscape?
The latter. Yeah, the latter. We're seeing more drought-resistant landscape, you know, clever use of native plants, ground cover, drip irrigation. So that, you know, I think for a while there, we kind of were in a little bit of a la-la land after that great winter we had, and everyone's like, all right, it's over. But, you know, the reality is it's not. And so that trend of the drought-tolerant landscape is still the way to go. It's much better than the gold.
And are you seeing a lot of homeowners putting in the artificial turf instead of real grass? And how are buyers looking at that?
You see it a little bit. We're seeing it more than we had in the past. And with that artificial turf, there's a wide range in the quality of product that's out there. And so some of it just looks really, really bad. and so it's not received well at all. It's almost better not to do it and just have bark or some kind of ground cover down if you just want to accomplish putting down cover. But there is some really nice product out there that, you know, it still obviously is fake, but it looks a lot better and used in the right spaces of the home. Maybe not so much in the front for curb appeal, but maybe in the backyard for kids or some pets to play on. It could be a nice little touch.
Excellent. So, you know, when I look at the market, what are you seeing out there? What are your tea leaves? Or, you know, I get asked this all the time, and I'm always like, well, the crystal ball is cloudy.
Yeah.
But any statistics that you'd like to share with us today, or what you see coming?
Yeah, you know, in general, that the market's just a really healthy, normal market right now. We don't have a skyrocketing, crazy market with, you know, tons of multiple offers and huge competition and, you know, over asking sales. You know, very few of those happening. It's a little bit, but not a ton. You could expect as a seller, if you're realistic and you're pricing your home right, that it's going to sell maybe not immediately, but, you know, within 30 to 60 days, which is just kind of a really healthy, normal market. In general, this year has experienced a nice little boost in pricing. I'm tracking in Santa Barbara, there are so many different little micro markets and segments, so you can't really make a blanket statement. But in general, you're looking at 4 to maybe 7% appreciation on values, which is a really nice little bump in values. It's been modest in the last few years. You know, we've been going in that upward direction, just not super speedy compared to other upturns, but it's been healthy. It seems sustainable, and it's kind of...
Yeah, I was going to say it's probably a lot healthier than it was in the early 2000s when it was going, you know, 12 and 15% year-over-year growth.
Yeah, the inventory supply is still low. It's this year has kind of been plagued by less inventory coming on and more sales, and that's been the catalyst kind of pushing what we've seen, this 4 to 7%, give or take, in various markets increase in values. So yeah, you know, to sum it up, definitely a healthy market. We do see a lot of overpriced inventory. That's kind of, we have quasi-sellers out there that, you know, either they truly believe their house is worth this number, which it clearly isn't, or they are just kind of, hey, if I could get this number, great. Otherwise, I'm happy living where I'm at. So, you know, there is a lot of that in the inventory. So this low inventory is actually made up of a lot of other homes that, you know, we don't have those fairy tale buyers anymore that just come in and pay whatever. You know, that's kind of left the market. So you really, as a seller, if you really want to sell, you know, you got to be sharp on your pricing.
In New York, there are rules that don't permit brokers to take listings on overpriced property. That is, it has to be a reasonable expectation. Are there such rules in California?
No.
So you could list your home for anything
whatever.
You want.
No,
yeah.
I know the individual can, but if a broker takes a listing for a price that is
unrealistic, how do they set that bar?
Well, no, are they allowed to?
Let's say, for instance, you comp it out and I'm selling my house and you say, you know, Diane, your home is worth $1.5 million, and I'm like, I'm not selling it for less than three. Can you still take my listing if I want to sell it for $3 million?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay,
so there aren't rules like that.
So that exacerbates the problem.
It definitely can. You definitely could have brokers going through and, you know, just taking a listing that's overpriced, knowing that, hey, they've got inventory now, and maybe eventually the seller will get more realistic and it will come down, which does happen.
Now, what do you think? What do you think's the reason why there's such low inventory right now?
Well, the bump up in values, or the bump up in sales, has gobbled a lot of it up, and we're also noticing that a lot of retirees, baby boomers, are retiring in place. You know, they're not moving, and that was kind of anticipated, that we'd have this influx of inventory from them moving around, and that's really not been the case.
So, I go to a dinner party, which is not that often. I don't get invited out.
I was going to say, you go every weekend, except when your wife's out of town.
Right. But a lot of times the person, and including myself, will have our real estate broker at dinner. Everyone has, which is nice, everyone has their real estate broker that they bought two houses from or sold a house with, and they're very happy and satisfied. If that's true, how can someone start in the business? Does everybody who live here already have their broker? I mean, how do you get into the business?
Yeah, it's very difficult, you know, just a lot of perseverance. There's always deals to be had, and so, you know, the hungry agent's going to keep at it and find deals. But I grew up in this town. I know a ton of people. Everybody I know has agents. It's the nature of the beast. There's a lot of realtors in town. I think the last blast email I sent out through the MLS system went out to 1,255 recipients. So there's, you know, a lot. And it's just a lot of hustle, a lot of follow-up, not giving up.
We actually got a write-in email question in from Ron in Goleta. He says, it's hard to break into the high-end market. What's the trend on rent-to-own deals, and how are they being structured?
Rent-to-own deals, I've dabbled in people talking about them. I've never put one together. Typically, there's a larger down payment that's often non-refundable. A portion of the rent is going towards that purchase price, that down payment. That portion of the rent ultimately gets accumulated and add to a purchase price that's sometimes predetermined at a certain date. That's just one way to structure it. There's no standard way to structure it. It's all negotiable, but that's kind of a framework of what
that's
you may
a framework. See. And so with a rent-to-own, is there usually a sales price determined up front?
Uh-huh.
And so if the market moves against either the buyer or the seller, you basically can back out of it then.
Yeah. And you could be out that deposit you put in. And, you know, oftentimes maybe that rent is inflated a little bit because there's a portion of that going towards the future sales price. So that could be the loss. If the market skyrockets, though, that rent-to-own buyer now has locked in a price of, you know, 2 years ago maybe.
Right. So it's good it's good for the buyer in an appreciating market. It's good or better for the seller in a depreciating market.
Yeah, and especially if the buyer performs. Yeah. Right. And even if they don't, they still get that extra cash.
Right.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
People's Self-Help Housing is a national award-winning nonprofit organization celebrating 35 years of experience in creating affordable housing and self-sufficiency programs for lower-income families, seniors, and those with special needs. People's Self-Help Housing has helped to create over 1,000 self-help ownership homes and over 1,200 affordable rentals. 400 children annually are served through their K-12 education enhancement programs. People's Self-Help Housing is committed to expanding its core vision of providing housing for low-income families, seniors, and the physically challenged. The organization also provides complimentary social services designed to assist each resident. People's Self-Help Housing believes that affordable, safe, and quality housing leads to healthy communities, which benefit us all. You can help in these efforts to create more housing and related social services by calling 962-5152. That's 962-5152.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara. Diane, when you went there at the opening in 1937, how was it, the same ambiance that it is now?
It was, Neil. No, actually, it's a really cool story. The owners of Arnaldi's, they are of Italian heritage, and that's where they have all their fond childhood memories. And that's why when it was closing, it was going to close and just go away, they couldn't bear to see that. And so a brother and a sister bought it together with their spouses, and that's how Arnaldi's is there today. And they say the ambience is exactly the same. So
it's classic. It's great.
It is. It's totally classic. Well, gosh, you must have been there as a native Santa Barbaran.
Oh, yeah.
Been there playing bocce in the back.
It's very unique. It's a signature Santa Barbara spot.
Absolutely. So if you're just joining us, we have Joe Parker, who is founding partner of the Santa Barbara Group at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. And so I wanted to ask you, before a couple segments back, we were talking about marketing and how you're so great at doing the YouTube videos and really engaging with your audience through Facebook and LinkedIn and other social media. How do you see that technology, as well as Trulia, Zillow, Savvy, different home buying services that could potentially cut an agent out? How do you see that affecting the real estate market in general?
I think it just changes the role of a good quality professional real estate agent. You know, no longer are we the gatekeepers of information. The information's out there, most of it at least. So it's more of what value do you bring to the table as a good agent, and it's your communication skills, your listening skills, your ability to get to know your client and understand their needs, your ability to help them – to think and make clear decisions during times of stress, your ability to navigate the pitfalls and unforeseen circumstances that show up during an escrow and navigate them in a way that benefits your clients, your ability to process data that's out there. Everyone's got access to the data, but sometimes it just makes people go cross-eyed whenever they're looking at it all. And if you found a home that you like because it hit Trulia and you want to see it, well, maybe you need to know more about the comparables around it and really dive into that data. So a good agent is just got to change their value proposition. It's no longer, hey, I just found this property. Usually our buyers are saying, hey, look at what I saw on the internet. You know, if the information is out there. And then also a good agent is well networked in a community like Santa Barbara. There's a lot of deals that happen outside of the internet. You know, a buyer will be working closely with an agent, and that agent will network with other agents in other offices or their office and come across a pocket listing that they bring to their buyer, which they would never saw if they were just looking at Trulia or Zillow. So it's adapting. The role of an agent is still needed.
So with pocket listings, which is something that, you know, agents know that it's coming on the market, but it hasn't quite yet hit.
Right.
How often do those sell before they hit the market? Like how much? What would you say? Is that common or fairly rare?
It is pretty common. It's becoming more and more common. And you know, there's two types of pocket listings. There's the ones that are coming up and they're gonna hit the market soon, but maybe the seller's got circumstances going on in their life that they are not ready to go full fledged and have the public come through their home just yet.
Like they have small children.
Yeah, they have small children or whatever it is. They're getting some stuff ready. They, you know. And then there's the others that they never intend to go into the full marketplace, but they would like to sell. They don't want the intrusion. They don't want the whole hassle. But, hey, if someone could bring them their price, they're wanting to sell. So that's where we see a lot of them. You know, you do get that pre-marketing kind of networking going on something. But you have quite a few people that just don't like that whole intrusion of being on the market. But they have a good relationship with their agent. They know their agent's well connected. And they say, hey, you know, bring me this price. I'll show it and we can make a deal.
Well, gosh, you know, just from somebody who lives in a house that I'm not selling my house, but to have your house be clean and show ready every single day when someone calls, that's
right.
A big, that's a big,
it's a huge
feat.
Intrusion.
Yeah.
A big intrusion. And you know, the open houses and all that is the signs there. Anytime you put a sign on your house, you know,
people looking in your windows.
Yeah, even if you put a do not disturb, you got the people that are just going to show up and start walking around anyways.
Right. So, you know, are there any legislation initiatives that are out there right now that will affect the real estate market?
Yeah, actually, I just saw something. The California Association of Realtors on the 14th just approved funding to support an initiative that they want to get on the ballot for our residents in California that are 55 and older that would allow them to transfer their property tax anywhere, any of the counties in California, both up and down. So right now with Prop 60, you could transfer your property tax to an equal or lesser value if you're 55 and older one time. And there's a few counties, 11 out of like the 58, that will allow a transfer, like Ventura County you could transfer into, let's say from Santa Barbara, if you sell you. But Santa Barbara you can't transfer in, which is a huge problem for us. We've got a lot of people that would love to transfer and move and retire into Santa Barbara, but they can't bring their tax basis and they can't afford the taxes. So California Association of Realtors has put this made the commitment to fund this initiative to get this on the ballot. So we're basically going to be putting in about $20 million of funds that come from realtors, from their dues, and then CAR, California Association of Realtors, and NAR, National Association of Realtors, will be using some of their reserves to increase that funding and basically accumulate a lot of agents to get on the streets and start collecting signatures.
And so now with this legislation initiative or ballot initiative, I guess, is it just to cross counties or will it still be equal or lesser expensive home? Do you know?
It would also accommodate if you wanted to buy a more expensive home. And they're proposing some kind of blending of the two tax basis. So if you bought something less expensive, I believe the way it would work is it would be the same tax basis that you currently enjoy. And if you bought something more expensive, it would be still less, but it would be blended. So maybe a little bit higher than what you enjoy, but nothing like it would be if you just had to pay the property tax on the property you purchase.
Wow, that could be a real
huge
advantage to people looking to cross county lines. I know a lot of people in Santa Barbara are looking at Ojai as a place to retire.
That's and where so, they a lot of them choose to go after they learn they can't come to Santa Barbara.
I can't wait until I become 55.
You're in for a good one if this passes.
Decades away, Neil. You know, things can change before
then. It could free up a lot of inventory. I mean, no one expected this population to kind of stay put and retire in place. They would love to get into, you know, downsize, get into single-family homes, get into areas that they want to retire in. But a lot of them are looking at that tax bill saying, I can't do it. It's not worth it.
Right, yeah, and that would also, you know, free up or add to, I'm sure, an increased inventory for that next
increased
generation
inventory,
to buy
more transactions,
the family home.
Yeah, and, you know, a surge in the economy.
And there are also people today that are have changed their view about living in a big house. And so there's this desire to be in a condominium. And I'm not talking about just the tax base, but the whole lifestyle issue. Mm-hmm. They want to be able to walk. And I know that's hurting, in a way, the high end of the market because there aren't people who are replacing people who want big estates. But do you see a change where older people now are looking to live like the millennials, looking to live in a condominium, particularly where there are restaurants and shopping?
Absolutely. Yeah, that active kind of European lifestyle where you just walk out your door and see where the day or the night brings you is very popular with people retiring, I think, and especially in this town because there's so much to do out your front door if you're downtown.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
Hey, at our startup, my team and I move at the speed of tech 24/7. And every single day, it's information overload. It's coming at me from all directions. And you know what? Bottom line, I just need the news that matters. So where do I turn? Local radio and TV. I want to hear from people who live and work in my town. They give me the real story with information I know I can rely on. So where else can I find out what's happening in my community? Weather and traffic, things that affect my family and my business. I want to stay informed by sources I trust, my local radio and TV stations, for the best entertainment, sports, news, traffic, and weather with no agenda and more reliable than other platforms. So if you ask me for the information I want anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local station. Text radio to 52886 today. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
So before the break, we were talking about the ballot initiative that the California Association of Realtors and the National Realtor Association are backing to allow home buyers to transfer their property tax base across county lines in California, as well as increase the value of what they sold their home for. So run us through that scenario, because on the break you were running it through and I think you made it really clear.
Yeah.
So let's say you sell, you're in a house right now, your basis in the house is $500,000, your tax basis.
Yeah, the idea is that a lot of these this population is enjoying a really low tax basis because they've been in their home for a long time. It hasn't increased a lot, but their values way outpaced that.
And normally it's a bigger home that it's really too big for them now. And they're looking to downsize square footage, but
That's right. The
home prices have all escalated, and so
that's right. And today, you could, you know, do it within Santa Barbara. Great. You can move outside to a few select counties one time. That's great. What the initiative would like to introduce is allow you to do it in any county, no matter where you want to go. So, you know, you're up north and you want to come to Santa Barbara. Great. Now you could come into Santa Barbara, where you can't transfer into Santa Barbara right now as it currently is. And you could bring that tax basis with you, even if you buy something more expensive than what you just sold your home for.
So I think that's an important point. So it's based upon your home. So let's say you bought the house for $500,000.
Right.
You're now selling it for $1.5 million. You now have to identify and buy a home that's either 1.5 or lower.
That's right.
In order to transfer that basis.
That's right. So you have to buy something of equal or lesser value currently. This will allow you to step up if you want to spend more money. And they're proposing, and I don't know the details of it, some kind of blending of that new tax basis, that new value, the difference between what you sold for and what you stepped up to. But it still wouldn't be the complete step up. And another thing, a little note that I read in it was that you would be able to do it more than one time. Right now, it's a one-time deal that you get to take advantage of. And then whatever you bought, you're staying put.
Right. Wow, this is breaking news, Joe.
Yeah, this is really cool. I was on the 14th, they passed the spending bill to go ahead and initiate this $20 million to start getting these signatures gathered. So you may see some realtors come knocking on your door explaining this, saying, hey, we're trying to help out the 55 and older population of California here and allow them to...
You mean Neil's door. I'm not quite there yet. So if somebody is looking to buy or sell their home and they're listening to the program, how would they reach you?
The best way is my cell phone, 805-886-5735. Unfortunately, it's tethered to me at all times. But fortunately, it's great because I really pride myself on being accessible to my clients at all times. And if they want to learn more about us, our website, thesantabarbaragroup.com, and my email, joe@thesantabarbaragroup.com.
And they can also follow you on YouTube, right?
Yeah, YouTube. It's Joe Parker, Santa Barbara. I should know that a little bit better, but I could get it off my website as well.
Well, great. Any final questions or thoughts, Neil?
So you're located in downtown Santa Barbara. How much of your business is outside of downtown? Will you deal in Montecito? Will you deal in Goleta? Is your business located in your offices, or are you all over the place?
All over the south coast of Santa Barbara County. So pretty much selling from the tops of Goleta through Carpinteria, with a real emphasis on Santa Barbara proper. That's our main focus. That's where the most of our deals seem to come from. But yeah, absolutely. I've sold in Carpinteria, Montecito, Goleta, all the way up to Gaviota Coast, actually.
And since you have offices in every little area of our community, do you work together with other Berkshire Hathaway brokerage firms, people?
Absolutely. We have weekly sales meetings, which is a huge value of being at Berkshire Hathaway. The synergy and share of information within the office is great. So we meet weekly throughout all the offices and have some great information exchange, not only just upcoming listings and buyer needs, but trends in the market to stay on top of things.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that is really big secret is that if you buy a house, you are able to have lunch with Warren Buffett, which I think is a great advantage.
Are you going to sell your house just for that privilege?
I like to eat my peanut butter and jelly by myself for lunch. So I don't think I want to sell my house. But
so if you're listening out there and you're looking to buy or sell your home or just want a second opinion, you know, please don't hesitate to reach out to Joe. He's a great guy and we'll give you a straight shooter. And thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you being here. And
thank you. I appreciate you having me. It's been fun.
You've been listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB. Have a good afternoon. We'll see you next week. It's 3